The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. According to Paul, this was a saying during the time that the Bible was written. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. It was a saying. That means it's something that they said repeatedly. They said a lot. They said it to a lot of people. I think this needs to be a saying again today. It needs to be something we say. It needs to be something we say repeatedly. It needs to be something that we say to one another. It needs to be something that we use to encourage one another. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. We are not presently walking through a process of trying to appoint elders, overseers, pastors, bishops. And I think it's good for us to think about this saying. When something is a saying, you don't just say it once every couple of years. It's something that you say all the time. It's something you think about quite frequently. And so I want us to spend some time tonight, while we're not having any plans to appoint elders right now, we need them. We need elders. We need shepherds. We need overseers. We need pastors. We need bishops. We need men to fill this role. We need to be saying this to one another. If anyone desires the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. If you desire the office of overseer, you desire a noble task. We need to be encouraging one another with this. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to encourage us around this statement tonight. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. By the time we're done tonight, we're going to answer four questions. We're going to answer the who question. Who needs to think about the office of overseer, especially the maturity of the overseer? We're going to answer the what question. If someone's aspiring to the office of overseer, what is it that he's aspiring to? We're going to ask the why. Why would anyone ever aspire to the office of overseer? And then we're going to answer the how question. If you want to aspire to the office of overseer, how can you do that? I'm going to share with you tonight the number one way to aspire to the office of overseer. Before we unpack all that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God and Father, you are magnificent. You are the great shepherd. You are our shepherd. We shall not want. You are awesome, and you give us rest and refreshment and rejuvenation. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Father, we are so thankful that we get to be your sheep. And we'd ask tonight that you would raise up under shepherds, these shepherds within this congregation that would be under you and your Son and your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to feed us, to bring back the straying, to lift up and strengthen the weak, to heal the sick, to bind the broken, that you would fill the hearts of the brothers within this congregation, that they would aspire to this office of overseer, that they might protect this congregation from the attack of the lion who is prowling about, roaring, seeking to paralyze us with fear. And Father, we pray that our shepherds will be qualified men who will lift you up, who will blaze a trail for us, this flock. And we'd ask that you would do that among the flocks throughout the world. Father, help us tonight to understand the need for overseers, to understand our need for growth and maturity, to understand this congregation's need for shepherds. And Father, I'd ask that you would be in the hearts of those who are aspiring to be an elder someday, that they would start working on that even now, and that they would grow. Father, we pray that you would be with us tonight. Fill us with understanding and growth and maturity. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let's start with that. Who? When we're talking about aspiring, especially when we think about overseers, who am I talking to tonight? Now, some of you, I fear, probably already have just started to drift. You're like, oh, I'm never going to be an elder, so this lesson's not for me. Time to take my Sunday afternoon nap, part two. I understand it. That's how we think sometimes. But before we think about the office of overseer, I'd like us to also think about the maturity of the overseer. Because what I want us to recognize is that not everyone will aspire to the office of overseer, but every single one of us needs to aspire to the maturity of the overseer. So the reality is that I'm really talking to every single one of us tonight. Aren't we all supposed to be mature Christians? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, It doesn't matter how old we are. We're supposed to be going on to maturity. It doesn't matter what gender we are. We're supposed to be going on to maturity. It does not matter where we've been, what we've done. We are supposed to be going on to maturity. And when we think about maturity and what maturity in Christ and as a disciple looks like, is there a better picture of Christian maturity than the qualification of the elder, the overseer? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 2, here's how the overseer is described: above reproach, husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. We find another description of the elder and his maturity in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And in Titus chapter 1, Paul wrote to his protege Titus, "If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Now, I understand. There are a couple of statements in this list that you don't have to have to be mature. You don't have to be married, the husband of one wife, to be a mature Christian. You don't have to have children to be a mature Christian. But the idea here is for those disciples who are married, who do have children within their home, those who are mature, this is what they're going to be striving for. And what we need to recognize, this is mature Christianity. This is not something special for a small class of people that are going to go through the ranks and rise as the cream to the top. This is what mature Christianity looks like. I mean, which of us is allowed to be arrogant or quick-tempered? Well, I don't plan on being an elder, so I can be quick-tempered. Is that really how we should look at this list? I don't plan on being an elder, so I don't have to be hospitable. I don't plan on being an elder, so I don't have to be disciplined or holy or upright. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? This is a picture of mature Christianity. This is what all of us are to aspire to in our maturity. In fact, think about the deacon's qualifications. Have you ever noticed that the deacon's qualifications are really pretty close to the same as the elder's qualifications? I mean, I know we find a few little things that we tweak in there, but in reality, you know what deacons are supposed to be? Mature Christians. That's what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well." This is really pretty close to the same set of qualifications as the elder. Why? Because we're looking for mature Christians to fill these roles. But have you also considered some of the passages that just talk about mature Christianity and noticed how similar they are to these lists? We can find in Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 8, as Paul is just telling Titus what he's supposed to be teaching men and women within the body of Christ, he says older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. This is mature Christianity. Sounds a whole lot like the qualifications for elders and deacons. It's very similar. Look, I get it. There are a couple of words that are different. But when you're looking at these people, it's basically saying this is what you're supposed to be growing to be as a Christian. We all should aspire, if not to the office, at least to the maturity of the overseer. In fact, I find it interesting when he's talking about the widows indeed that can be enrolled in the congregation. There's even similarities here. It says, let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, having a reputation for good works, if she's brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. Another picture of mature Christianity. Here's what I want us to understand. I get it. Elders, as the husband of one wife, are going to be brothers. But everyone is supposed to be mature. And this is just a description of mature Christianity. And so, when we're talking about who needs to at least aspire to the maturity of the overseer, that's all of us. So when we think about this office, and we think about the role, and we think about the work of the overseer, and what it takes to accomplish that work, and the kind of maturity that we need to be shooting for, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter our gender, it doesn't matter our age, that's something we need to be aspiring to, the maturity of the overseer. So we're talking to everyone tonight. But some of us will aspire to the office of overseer. The question then is, what is it that we're actually aspiring to? If we're aspiring to the office of overseer, if you're saying to yourself, I want to be an elder one day, I want to be a pastor one day, I want to be a bishop, I want to be a shepherd within the congregation of a body of God's people, what is it that you're actually aspiring to? Here's what I'd like you to notice. You are aspiring to a noble task. You're aspiring to a task. In the King James Version, it actually says a good work. Here's what we need to understand. If you want to be an elder someday, you're not aspiring to a neat position. You're not aspiring to an awesome rank. You're not aspiring to a title. You're not aspiring to finally get some well-deserved recognition. If that's what you're looking forward to, you're looking forward to something else. You're not looking forward to being an overseer. Because folks who are aspiring to being an overseer, to being an elder, they understand it's not about titles. It's not about positions. It's not about rank. It's about responsibility. Being an overseer is a job. It is work. And honestly, it's very hard work. And it's work that not everybody can do. When I think about what it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, as it talks about our leaders, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Keeping watch. The word translated keeping watch there literally means no sleep. That's the kind of work that we're talking about. This is a task. It's a job. It is a responsibility. And they are those who are working as those who will give account. This word translated overseer, episkopos. According to West Word Studies, it tells us that originally came from secular life, referring to the foreman of a construction gang or the supervisor of building construction. Thayer's tells us, very similarly, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things be done by others are done rightly, any curator, guardian, or superintendent. Now, I understand those of us who are part of the construction gang often think that the foreman's job is to sit around and take credit for all the work that we do. That's not the foreman's job. The foreman's job is to lead and guide and direct and show how it's to be done and then to turn around and give account. The foreman, the superintendent, is not the owner. The foreman is the one who gets called to account by the owner. The foreman is the one that gets called into the office and said, how come this isn't working right? That's the foreman's job. To be the one that's overlooking and saying, I'm going to make sure this is done right, and they will give account. Now guys, I understand that each of us individually are going to give account for ourselves before God. But do you understand that the work of overseer, the work of elder, is the responsibility of giving account for the entire congregation? That is frightening. I just want you to think about that, the gravity of that situation for anyone who aspires to that work. Please understand, it's not, boy, I sure would like to be in charge someday, because that's not the role. The responsibility is not being in charge. The responsibility is giving account. And that causes sleeplessness. That causes overseeing, sleepless nights, work. That is the job. Why on earth would anyone want that job? I get why people want to be elders when they think elders are the ones who get to make all the decisions. I get why people want to be elders when they think elders are the prestigious rank who run everything. I get that. We got a lot of people who want that. But when you actually find out what being an overseer means, why would anybody want that? And I want to encourage you. We need you to want that. Let me share why. All the way back in Ezekiel. Well, let me back up here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Back to Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. We talk about this being a hard job. It's a thankless job oftentimes. A lot of times the elders and the work that they're having to do, they don't get thanked for it. Instead, people get mad at them. We don't like it when people are overseeing us. And so sometimes the way we as the sheep act, we make it a groaning job rather than a joyful job. It ought to be a joyful job for them, but far too often, not only are they not thanked, they're ridiculed, they're mocked, they're yelled. I'll tell you what, over and over again, we see people who want to live in sin that abandon the Lord's people. Do you know who they talk badly about when they leave? The elders and the preacher, but we're not talking about him tonight. I mean, those guys are awful anyway, but they talk about the elders. It shouldn't be like that, but it often is. Why would anyone want that? Now let's go back to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, chapter 24, verses 5 through 6, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. That's Israel. Israel was scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep, he says, were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Why do we need shepherds? I'll tell you why. Because there are wild beasts. Because there are savage beasts. Because there's a lion and there are wolves. And they scatter the sheep. And flocks without shepherds get scattered. Flocks without sheep wander aimlessly. Flocks without shepherds wander aimlessly. Flocks without shepherds are subject to the unprotected attack of the lion and savage wolves. That's what happened in Israel because they didn't have people who stepped up and would be shepherds of God's people. And that's exactly what's going to happen today. If we don't have men that will step up and be shepherds, the sheep get attacked. And the sheep get eaten. And the sheep get scattered. And so it's not surprising then to us that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, what Paul points out to us is that the person who aspires to the office of overseer aspires to a noble task. Not an easy task, not a convenient task, but a noble task. King James Version, good work. Why? Because this is eternal work. This is the kind of work that's not just for today, it's for all time. We're talking about souls being saved from the lion. Souls being saved from the savage wolves. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul talked to the Ephesian elders, he said to them in verses 29 and 30, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Guys, wolves are attacking. The lion is attacking. The sheep here are being attacked. You may not realize that, but we are being attacked. And Satan will do anything and everything he can to nip away and to draw people away. And what's God's answer for that? God's answer for that is shepherds. God's answer for that is people who will step up, men who will answer the challenge, men who will step away from what's convenient and what's easy and what's leisurely and what's luxurious, who will step up and do the hard work and say, I will do that. I will follow in the footsteps of the good shepherd, my Savior, John 10. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. We need men who are going to step up and care. We need men who are going to say, I'm not a hired hand. I'm going to be a shepherd. I'm not a hireling. I care. The lion is attacking. The wolves are attacking. And somebody needs to stand up and love the sheep like Jesus does. Why would anyone do that? Because that's who our Savior is. And we want to be like Him. Why would anyone want to do that? Because they see the danger of the attack. And they're ready to stand up and lay down their lives for the sheep. Because I know somebody needs to be doing that. We need folks who are going to step away from the convenience and the ease of being a hired hand. And someone who will say, I'll shepherd. I'll love. I will care. And while it is a hard task and while it is often thankless in this life, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We're not trying to seek the reward from men anyway, are we? It's the reward that comes from Jesus Christ that matters most. Why would anyone want this role? Because we need someone who's going to step up and say, the attack is on and I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to sacrifice. I'm ready to lay down my life because I love these sheep that much. That's why. So how? How will we aspire? How can you aspire to the office of overseer? The reality is, I just want to point out to you, it's very simple. There's one major key. There's one way. The best way. Here is the number one way. If you thought in your mind, someday I want to be an elder, I can tell you right now, the number one way for you to aspire to being an elder. And that is, if you want to be an elder someday, start doing elder stuff today. If you want to be an elder someday, start doing elder stuff today. I get it. There are some things that elders do in their role that those who aren't elders aren't allowed to do. But if you want to be an overseer someday, start doing overseer stuff today. Let me explain to you why I say that. Let's go back to our passage. We've got the word here, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that word there is more than just if you want it. It's more than just if you wish it. We've got the word for desire where it says he desires a noble task. This word for aspires actually goes beyond that idea of just I'd like to be an elder at some point. This word for aspires, the Greek word orego, and it's not used hardly at all, but there is a noun that comes from the same word, orguia, and it's found in Acts chapter 27 and verse 28. I just want to show you a neat little connection here. In Acts 27 and verse 28, this is those of us who have been going through Acts, no, wait a minute, that's when Paul was in the shipwreck. That's right. They started sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. I know you're wondering, why on earth does he have this picture up here? It has nothing to do with being at sea. But you see that guy who's got his arm stretched out? That's a fathom. A fathom is about 6 feet, and it comes from the measurement of a man's outstretched arms from one fingertip to the other fingertip. It's hard for me to do it while I'm holding the Bible, but you see? Okay, that's a fathom. This word, in both its noun form and its verb form, has the idea of the outstretched hand, the outstretched arm. And so that verb that talks about aspiring was formed into this noun that describes reaching out. To aspire is actually to reach out the arm towards something. That's what's going on here. And so when somebody is aspiring to the office of overseer, it's not just, I'd kind of like to do that someday. It's the idea of stretching out towards it. And so what I want you to understand is that if you aspire to the office of overseer someday, you want to be an elder someday, start doing overseer stuff today. You want to be an elder someday? Start doing elder stuff today. What kind of stuff would that be? Let's look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. Here's what he said to them. What's the stuff they were supposed to be doing? He said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Please notice the overarching goal and role of the elder is to care for the church of God. You want to be an elder someday? Start caring for the church of God today. Don't wait until one day when we say, all right, we're going to walk through a process of appointing elders to start caring for the church of God. Don't wait until someday maybe you get appointed as an elder. Okay, I'm going to start caring for the church of God. He says that the church of God was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't own anything as valuable as Christ's church. I promise you. You don't own anything as valuable as Christ's church. Nothing has cost as much as Christ's church. And when he says the elder's role is to care for the most valuable thing in existence, God's church. And he says that there's two ways in which that happens. Two things that the elder is doing in order to care for the church of God. The very first one is pay careful attention to yourselves. This is interesting. He says to these elders, guys, pay careful attention to yourselves. If you want to be an elder someday, don't wait to pay careful attention to yourself. Start paying careful attention to yourself right now. Start focusing on your growth, your discipleship, your maturity, your spirituality right now. Don't wait until announcement gets made. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start appointing elders. We would like for you to think about people. Don't wait for that. Start paying careful attention to yourself right now. How would you do that? What things might you pay careful attention to? Oh, I don't know. How about those qualifications that are the epitome of maturity? Start thinking about that. Start thinking about those things. We'll read them again here in 1 Timothy 3. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Pay careful attention to yourself. Am I being above reproach? The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. In Titus, if anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Start paying careful attention to yourself now. Am I hospitable? Am I disciplined? Am I growing in that? Am I violent or greedy? Am I a drinker and a drunkard? Am I quick-tempered? Start paying attention to these things now and start bringing them in line with the maturity that God is pushing all of us toward. Let us press on from the elementary things and stretch out for maturity. If you want to be an elder someday, start doing elder stuff today. Start paying careful attention to yourself right now. Are you growing in these things? That's how you aspire to be an elder someday. Start doing this elder stuff today. But he didn't only say pay careful attention to yourself. He said also pay careful attention to all the flock. Pay careful attention to all the flock. You want to be an elder someday? You want to be an overseer someday? Start doing overseer stuff today. Start doing elder stuff today. Start paying attention to the flock. Start recognizing that this isn't all just about you. Start recognizing that there are brothers and sisters around us and Satan is attacking. The lion is on the prowl. And we need to be caring for one another. It's not just the elders overlooking us who are supposed to take care of all that. We're supposed to be caring for one another. I've tried to repeat a prayer often that I heard years ago when I was in Texas. May we stand so close together that none of us can fall down. That was just a beautiful thing to me. I wish I'd come up with it on my own. I didn't. I just repeat it because I like it so much. That's because we are our brother's keeper. We are our sister's keeper. We are supposed to care for one another. And you want to be an elder someday? Start doing elder stuff today. Don't sit around and see somebody in trouble and say, I wonder when the elders are going to do something about that. Step up and care. Step up and lay your life down for the sheep. Start doing shepherd stuff today. What kind of stuff would that be? I think one of the best passages that shows this is the contrast that we have. The rebuke that God gave those Israeli shepherds in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. When he said, I don't have shepherds among my people. Here's what he said about the people who were supposed to be shepherds. He said, the weak you haven't strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. You want to be a shepherd someday? Start doing these things that these people weren't doing. You want to be a shepherd someday? You want to be an overseer someday? Start doing overseer stuff today. Do you know anybody that's weak? Strengthen them. Do you know anybody that's sick? Heal them. Obviously, we're talking spiritually. The injured, you know anybody that's injured? Go bind them up. You know anybody that's straying? Bring them back. You know somebody that's lost? Go seek them. Don't wait around and wonder when the elders or the preacher or the deacon or the Bible class teacher are going to do something about that. Start doing the overseer stuff today. You want to be an elder someday? Start doing elder stuff today. I'll tell you, the people who are most qualified to be elders are the ones who are going to be doing most of that work, whether they ever get appointed as elders or not. Don't wait around. Start working on that now. Start working on that now. Get yourself connected to one of those who are already shepherds and elders now and say, hey, what do I need to do to pay attention to myself and to pay attention to the flock? Start working with them. Start doing that stuff today. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Start caring for that church right now. Pay careful attention to yourself and pay careful attention to the flock. And that, brothers and sisters, will help you become mature. And for some of us, for some, it will lead to the office of overseer. It's a trustworthy saying. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. We need men who want to be elders. We need men who aspire to the office of overseer. We need brothers who are going to start doing elder stuff today. One day they may be elders. But we need you to start now. Start now. Do elder stuff today. If you want to, you can put your notes away and pull out your songbooks if you want to follow along with the songbook. But the lyrics will be up on the screen behind me. We've been talking about being an elder tonight. Not every Christian is going to be an elder. I know that. Not every Christian man is going to be an elder. I know that. But I hope that every single one of us will start aspiring at least to that maturity. But of course, that begins with aspiring to be a Christian to begin with. That begins with aspiring to be a disciple to begin with. That recognizing that, man, everything that's in that list, that's beyond me. That's beyond me. I'm going to need the power of someone greater than me to aspire to that. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I need God. I need His Spirit. And that's why Jesus died. Because all that stuff on that list, that's really how we're supposed to be acting anyway, but we've all blown it. I have. We've all blown it. And what we need is the forgiveness that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that starts the path. If one day you want to be able to be laying your life down for the sheep and standing up toe to toe with the enemy, it starts by becoming a disciple. And we'd like to help you with that tonight. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, baptism also now saves you. If you'd like to start pressing on to that maturity, start by becoming the infant, the child of God. We want to help you have your sins taken away tonight. If we can help you with that, we're going to sing this song. You'll be able to walk to the front. We will let you make your confession that you believe Jesus is the Christ. And based upon that, we will immerse you in the water, baptizing you, burying you with Christ, and raise you up to walk in a new life, pressing on, aspiring to maturity. Can we help you with that tonight? If so, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.